Let's look in our Bibles back in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. I want to talk to you a little bit about perception this morning. A lot of things, not in reality, but a lot of things are what they are, depending on the way you see it. Now, I'm not talking about the theory of relativity. That's a different discussion. Amen. That's a different discussion, but I want to read you some scripture here, and I think you'll see what I'm trying to get at. And I'll just, you know, I want you to really understand what the message is about. But some people are depressed over things when things are not the way you think they are. Yeah. And some of you are happy about things when things are not the way you think they are. A lot of people go about their daily life, they get drunk, they smoke dope, they mess around, they do whatever they want to do, and they, man, we're really living it up, you know. See the lady on the cigarette commercial, we, you know, come a long ways, baby. Yeah, but it's in the wrong direction. You may think you're having fun, but that's just perception. That's the way you see it. That's the way you feel about it. I do not deny that. But the Bible tells us every man is right in his own eyes. A man right the way he feels like he's the best way he can have fun. Even our United States Constitution talks about the pursuit of happiness. And just about everybody feels like that they're right in their pursuit of happiness. I'm doing the right thing to make me the happiest that I possibly can be. And they disregard all the turmoil and trouble and sorrow and shame that's building up in their lives on a regular basis. They ignore all that and continue to go the same direction. It is a matter of being deceived, of course, but it is also a matter of perception. I see this thing as going, it's going to be fun, it's going to be enjoyable, it's going to be timely, it's going to be, everything's going to be wonderful. It doesn't turn out that way, but yet we go and try it again. Yep. It's perception. I'm telling you, it's perception. And I think the most blessed of men is the man who God opens up their perception and lets them see the way things really are. The man that God really grants repentance, and he changes his mind from saying, all I need is myself, and then he says, now I need God. Amen. That's a great moment. That's a change in perception. Amen. A lot of folks think they're failing when actually God's there to help them to get through. Maybe it is. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but maybe it is that God is willing for you to be triumphant having lived a life full of failures. You ever thought about that? Try one thing and it doesn't go right, and try another thing and it doesn't go right, and try one thing and it doesn't go right, and try it again and it doesn't go right. I'm talking about trying to do the right thing and then just go through life fighting to do right, and then at the end of your life, you may have never made $1 million. You may have never built a fine home. You may have never done any of the great and wonderful things that you thought you might do, but you lived for the Lord and you tried and you kept going, and when you fell down, you got back up, and when you bumped your bruise, you put on bumped your elbow, you put on a Band-Aid and went on. Yeah. And to God, that'd be success. And the difference between seeing it one way or the other is just perception. I see a life of rot, or I see a life of blessing. And a lot of you are blessed, but all you see is the rot. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And it shows. It really does show. And a lot of you are chasing things that you perceive is going to just set me up. It's going to make me happy. It's going to fulfill all my dreams. And those dreams are not even based on anything similar to reality. Nothing. That's one thing I really try to keep my children from putting their thoughts and intents and desires and admirations on anything false and fake, like movie stars and superheroes and stuff. I don't want my kids to have any. So, well, just a little bit ain't going to hurt. I don't want my kids to have any warped sense of reality. I want them to see things as they are. I can't fly. Amen. I won't even fly on Southwest. God did not make me to fly. Amen. Now, you fly all you want to. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying my feet are planted firmly on the ground. Amen. If I get there, I'm going by foot or bus. God help us if you have to ride a bus more than 12 hours. I've done that before. But I'm just going to go by land because my mind is not up in the clouds. Amen. You fly all you want to. That's all right. But I can remember as a kid, you know, they come out with all these movies and stuff like this. You think, man, I'd like to do that. And some of you know, there's no doubt in my mind that there's men in this building carrying guns, not because of your constitutional rights, but because Bruce Willis. I know that's true. Clint Eastwood and I know you've owned a gun for, you know, 10 or 12 years and you've shot it 3 times. You're a Clint Eastwood fan. You're not a Second Amendment fanatic. You just, amen? But see, it's the perception. I've got a gun. Okay? I don't care if you got 3 guns. You ain't shot it in 6 months. The FBI says 1 in 12 shots from professionals hit their target in a real altercation. So, I mean, some of you fellas could stand up and just shoot around the room. No, nobody would be in danger. Amen? All you're looking for is a perception. I got a gun. Amen? When I got out of the Marine Corps, my mother told me that there was a deputy sheriff who was doing part-time work at the mall, and he would come in to the mall there. She worked in one of those haircutting places and in the mall, and this fellow would come in and ask her out on a date, and you know, just all the time she told him, leave me alone, leave me alone. Who are you gonna call? He is the police. And so when I got home, she told me his name. And so I went over to his house and knocked on the door. He opened the door. I said, is such and such a fella here? And they said he was, and he come to the door and he had his pistol in his hand. I said, that's a warm welcome right there, amen? I said, look, so-and-so is my mother, and if you ever talk to her again, I'll drag you and that pistol out in your yard, and I'll beat you to death with it. Amen? That's the way I felt about it at the time. Amen? But you say, what? Wasn't you worried about the gun? No, I wasn't worried about the gun. Police officers only shoot about once every 6 months. My brother's been a police officer now for three years, and I think he's been to the range 1 time. Yeah. That was in training. Not much worried about that. Man, but a lot of it's perception.
That's right.
And the way police officer comes up and writes you a ticket, and you know what you say? Thank you, sir. And then you roll up your window and curse him all the way home. No, he was just there. He was just standing there. But perception does something in your mind that way. Amen? And I want to talk to you about that a little bit. Let's read the scripture here. Numbers chapter 13, I think I told you that. But let's start reading in verse number 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You see Caleb's perception right there. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. We were in our own sights as grasshoppers. We were in our own sights as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. He said, we saw giants. And giants saw us. That's what he said. He said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And when them fellas looked at us, they said, hey, look at them little grasshoppers right there. It's perception, isn't it? It sure is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I do thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me. I don't really have a lot to say this morning, but God, what I do have to say, I believe come from you, number one. And I pray that you'd help me to preach it. I pray that you'd help me with it. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I saw that little passage of scripture about 6 months ago, and I wrote down the title, which is not a good way to build a sermon, write a title and then try to make something up. But I saw it there, and it said, we saw these giants, and the giants saw us. I carried around with me a little while. This is going to be a great sermon, I said to myself. And I said, just the title alone, I saw the giants and they saw me. Oh yeah, I'm going to preach that. And I sat down to write the sermon and I'll get back to this later on. Amen. Amen. But I talked to somebody yesterday and they were telling me about looking down through the future and not knowing what's going to happen and not knowing what is on the horizon, whether things will go good or whether things will go bad. And then I remembered this little topic, and I remembered that this little passage of scripture said, I saw the giants and the giants saw us, and we're just not able to go and do anything in this promised land. And you know, I begin to think about that, and that is really the way a lot of people live. They either say, boy, I can get this done, or they say, there's nothing I can do. And once you get the perception that there's nothing you can do, boy, you lose a lot right there. Amen. You lose hope, you lose faith, you lose the joy of living, you lose the joy of accomplishment. If the devil or the world or the flesh is able to make you stop before you even start, you can have very little expectation of any joy or peace or happiness or fulfillment of any kind whatsoever. And you need those things. Down in Georgia, it's a quiet little community, and we didn't have much to do around there. And there is in a lot of places in the South, it was real easy to become lazy there. And so one day I just took a little magic marker and put it on my just above the light switch in my bedroom, and it pointed out towards the front door of the house, and I wrote over it, purpose. I'm sure my wife didn't appreciate me writing on our walls with Sharpies, but purpose. There's something out there to go get done. If there's no purpose and if there's no hope of accomplishment in those purposes, you're going to live a sad life. Amen. Sad life. And a lot of that has to do with perceptions. A great many people live by perception only. And I'll tell you some things very, very pertinent, because I think at this point in time, things that are close and personal to my heart, I believe they'll ring true in your ear, amen? And, you know, I don't have a wealth of knowledge, so I just tell you what I go through and what I think and the way I see things. But I've been thinking lately about a lot of things, and with my wife yesterday, we were sitting around the table, and I didn't really say much about it or talk much about it. But I was just thinking about it. I won't say who, because I know we record stuff and people that I know in other places they see. And so I just say a group of people that I'm thinking of. I'm not sure one of them love me. And I don't talk about that a lot. I don't say, I wonder if Brother Ken loves me. I don't think about that too much, because that's a depressing way to think and really act. You know, a lot of people get caught up in that, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, and that's not a good road to travel. Amen. Even if it's true. Yeah. Even if it's true. And I'm going to say this, a lot of people think that way, nobody cares about me, and that's not true. Amen. People do care about you, amen? But I will say this, the more that you do whine and complain about people who don't care about you, the ones who do are going to get a little bit aggravated with you. Amen. Because people want to talk about the Super Bowl. They want to talk about Jesus. You know how much people want to talk about Jesus. Amen. People want to talk about Jesus, and they want to talk about the book of Daniel, and they want to get together and pray. But, amen, don't you wish? But a lot of people don't want to talk about how bad you got it. Amen? Because people have been sitting around all week thinking how bad they got it, and here you come piling on. Not only am I a loser, but all my friends are losers.
Amen.
Nobody wants to live that way. You're sitting around thinking negative thoughts all week, and so is all your friends. And then you get together and sit around and talk a little bit. You say, we're all crazy, ain't we? I know all we are. I don't know about all y'all, but all we that I have anything to do with are crazy. But you know, it can be a revelation to you when you find out that folks don't love you that ought to. Amen? And you have to think about that. You have to be very sober when you think about that stuff. And it takes a little bit. I mean, I think about folks in the Bible like Abraham. God called him out on a journey, and he began to walk. He had some family members with him. But you notice, as his journey goes through the Bible, family members just start dropping off, and pretty soon he's all by himself. And there has to be a mental decision that's made somewhere in life that says, I can go on without these folk. Amen? That's not, I'm not telling anybody to forsake one another. I'm not telling you to be the one that forsakes. I'm just saying at some point in time as you're living, folks are going to decide they don't want to go with you. Amen? As you build a church, some folks are going to say, I'm not going this way anymore. And you're going to have to go on, and your perception about the thing can't destroy your life. Amen. I know many of preachers who have quit their pulpits because two or three families left the church, and now I've decided because they don't love me, I ain't going on.
Yeah.
They'll quit.
Yeah.
They really will. They really will. And it's needless.
Yep.
Because if a few families quit you, and I know this, I've run some people off from church correctly, and I've run a few off incorrectly.
Yep.
Amen. But if they leave correct, I mean, if they leave because of something that's a problem in their life and you perceive that as something personal, I think I've learned and I hope I've learned, and I don't really want to know any further revelation on that, but I think I've learned that it's not my fault when folks leave church if it's a spiritual condition.
Yeah.
But a lot of preachers get knocked out. The perception, oh, I'm a failure. Well, you were a failure before God called you.
Yeah.
You were a failure. That's why God saved you. You were a failure. That's why it was God's grace when he let you do anything.
Amen.
Amen. Just be a failure the right way and try to do it right and tell the truth.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. 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 It's perception. I was thinking of a group of people, and I don't believe one of them really loved me. I cried about that a little bit. I'm a pretty sensitive fella. Last night, a little butterfly could have flew through the room and out of Amen. I got in here and prayed a long time and got close to the Lord. And boy, I could have, you know, I little girls could have made me cry or whatever. Pink Easter bunny could have hopped through the room and I'd have bawled like a baby. I'm just saying. But last night I was thinking about those things. And that's just, you know what that is? Me thinking that about these folks that I'm thinking of. That's my perception. You know what else? I think that there's some folks in this church right here, I think they love me the first time they seen me. Ain't that right? Little Lane there, he loved me the first time he seen me. Tommy brought him home from the hospital and I picked him up and he goes, boy, preacher, I love you. Amen? He still does, don't he? Amen. That's right. There's a couple folks in here like that. I call Miss Carla my mother, and Tommy's my brother from another mother. Amen. Well, there's a lot of folks around here like that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I guess when Abraham got to Hebron and began to travel through Shechem and even down into Egypt, and he collected folks that he loved as he went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? But you listen, one of those is bad. Some folks don't love me. One of those things is good. Folks love me. You see how that works out? One's positive and one negative. Let me say this. Both of those perceptions control all of my tomorrows. They do. My moods, my actions, my tears, my laughter. Just those two perceptions. They control everything. I'm not talking about my spirituality or what I know about the Bible or how much money I'm making next week. Don't control those things. Although it could. Those things could grow. If you let a root of bitterness over something, it could affect a lot of areas in your life. But just the way I perceive things. You know, I could talk to Brother Joe and have fellowship with Brother Joe just about the way I perceive, positive or negative.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
And that could change our lives. You know that?
Yes,
amen. You hadn't thought about that much, have you? But two of you folks in the church that don't get along, that could ruin the rest of your life.
Yep.
Or if you just change your perception just a little bit, you could be bosom buddies. Amen. I'd recommend if you're boys, though, don't hold hands or nothing like that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you know I'm telling the truth about that thing. A lot of that stuff is just perception, and that perception, whether it's good or bad, it controls your life. It controls your action. It controls your tears. It controls your laughter. It controls everything about you. Amen. You read your Bible all week long, still don't have no joy. It's because you're not applying what you're reading to your life. You're applying what somebody else thinks about me or what somebody else said about me. Or any such thing. The preacher didn't preach good enough to lift my spirits this week. There's a lot of stuff that goes in that just by perception. Amen?
Yeah.
If I live inside of those perceptions, it's not good. That group of people that I said that I didn't think they loved me at all, you know what I do? What I'm going to try to do when I get around them? I'm going to try to love them.
Amen?
Amen. I'm going to try to be good to them. I'm going to try to help them. Always have, and they've always seemed like face-to-face everybody loves you, don't it?
Amen.
Amen. But there's little clues out there.
Amen.
Amen. You ever had a family member where they gave you that little clue that they were only there for their own interest? Amen?
Oh, yeah.
I heard you got in an accident and got an insurance payment.
Yeah.
Wondering how you was doing. I've been out of work 3 days this week and had time to call you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, some people operate that way. Makes you feel kind of bad.
Yeah.
But they ain't no use in getting bitter over it.
Amen.
They need the same Jesus you need. Amen. They need the same Jesus to get right as you need to stay right, not strangle them. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an awful lot to be said for choking folks out, but I don't recommend that. I don't recommend that as a first option. Amen. Let that go by. Let that choke them out option go by several times before you actually try it. Amen. It'll be good for you, and plus it'll keep you out of jail. Amen. Amen. That's right. And listen, God help the man who's trapped inside the possibilities of his own mind. I don't care if it's about your job or your wife or your husband or whatever kind of relationships you got going on. Just don't live in. Listen, when somebody texts you back, okay, don't think, well, they don't care about me. It's a text message. I have taken offense to text messages before. Hey, man, I was thinking about this and I wanted to do this and I think we ought to do this and what do you think about this? Okay. What, you don't want to talk to me? I used to pick on Nathan and Spike down there in Georgia because they're assistant pastor and youth pastor, and I'll talk to them and try to call them on the phone. They didn't answer their phone. The boys just didn't answer their phone. And send them a text message. I guess they don't know how to text. I guess these boys are, you know, we think Nathan's a very intelligent man, but evidently he don't know how to text. Amen. And I begin to take that thing personal because, you know, I text them, no answer. Text, no answer. Text, no answer. Call, no answer. But you know what happens when I get around them? Their phone rings and they pick it up.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what I hate the worst? Talking about this telephone thing. Is I'll dial my wife's number. No, my wife will dial my number, and I'm busy. I'm working, and I don't get to it in time. I pick it up right as she's hanging up, and then I call her right back. She don't answer.
Yeah. How about that?
Three or four times. You cannot have gotten far from your phone enough not to answer. She's mad at me because I didn't pick up.
Yeah.
That's what she must be mad.
Yeah.
Creep in the house. Darling, are you mad? No, why? Why didn't you answer the phone? Now that I know she ain't mad, I can fuss. Amen? Amen. Perception. I think everybody gets that point. Amen. Now let's look what he says in verse number 33. He said, there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Let me go over two things, both of these outlooks here. I'll give you the negative one first. Number one, they said, we are not able. We're not able. God said, I got this place over here I'm going to give you. Now, you know, God said that same thing to you. He said, I give you peace. And a lot of you said, we're not able.
Yeah.
God said, I give you joy. And you say, not able. Why ain't you able? Well, you know, my wife, she don't see eye to eye. Or my husband, they don't see eye to eye. You know, there's a lot of folks in this building right here having marriage trouble. You say, how do you know? I pray.
Yeah.
Amen. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I know it. And a lot of it has to do with just perception.
Yeah.
Finances. That causes a few problems.
Yeah.
Amen. And folks, you'd be surprised at the folks that see finances as a giant that's going to keep them from getting their blessings.
Yep.
That's right. I just can't be happy. I can't have a fine home and a fine car. And that's why they put their emphasis on their financial side rather than their spiritual side.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
It's so important to be at work on time. It's a true thing. There are people who lay out of Sunday school, they will not be late to work.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We had some businessmen in our church down in Folkston, and they would lay out a church in a heartbeat, but they wouldn't miss work on Monday morning.
Amen.
Amen. And you say, Brother Mike, you're talking behind their back. Oh, no. I say that very thing right in front of them, right in front of their face.
Amen.
You wouldn't dare lay out at work on Monday morning.
Right. Yep.
You know what they said? Amen, preacher.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
No, I'm talking to you. It's you. You're the one. Today I'm preaching on brother so-and-so lays out a church and goes to work faithfully.
Yeah.
There's a perception behind that.
Yep.
Amen. If I don't go to work, I'm not going to make it. If I don't go to church, I'll probably still make it. It's perception.
Yep.
It's perception. You see the giants. If I don't make X amount of money, I'm ruined.
Yep.
But where's the perception that says, hey, if I don't get my soul filled with the goodness of God and the Word of God, I'm ruined, man. Yep. If I don't get preaching every week, I'm ruined.
Yes, sir.
I'll be in bad shape if I don't get God's word. If I don't pray like I ought to, I'll be ruined fast. It'll be fast. It won't be slow. It won't be a slow reaction. All I got to do is quit praying. Just quit praying, quit reading the Bible, and I'll be out fast. Fast. You say, why? Because I'm as worldly minded as any. I'm as carnal as any. If I don't do what I ought to do, and God told me to do it, I'll be done quick. Amen. Amen. I'd be willing to say faster than any of you. Amen. Although some of you are on your way out.
Yeah.
Might be at a turtle's pace, but you're on your way. You're slipping back.
Amen.
You're slipping back. Some perception. So we need you to, Lord says, I just need you to Amen. Live for the Lord. Just need you to live for me a little bit. And you say, oh, them giants. You know, see how that works? You know how it works. I'm really going to start living for the Lord. But get around those people at work, and they're just more enjoyable. You know, you slip just a little bit. And you get around Brother Ken, and you get around Brother Joe, somebody that's really, you know, zealous and vocal about, you get around, you just feel uncomfortable. But it's not them you're uncomfortable around.
Amen.
It's not Brother Joe or some of the hard preachers or some, it's not them you feel uncomfortable. It's you you're feeling uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on.
You're not gonna dabble in pornography and, hey, Brother Mike, want to hang out? Because you know he ain't doing that. You know that's not what he's after.
Amen.
I think these speakers over my head are mad at me. I'd like to stay up here, but I just can't this morning.
Amen.
Well, you look at things like that, and you begin to see your life slipping back. You just, I can't do it. And it gets to the point where you've made attachments out there that are stronger than the attachments you got in here. Yes, sir. I really hate... my boys asked me to go out with them this Friday, and I told them I would, and I just hate to disappoint them. Hey, what about me?
Yeah.
If you ain't here next Sunday, you're going to disappoint me.
Yeah.
If you ain't in Sunday school next week, you're going to disappoint me. Matter of fact, I'm going to take it personal.
Yeah. Amen.
But I'm going to get over it. I'm going to go on.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. You ought to be in Sunday school. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You ought to say amen. You can try to be. Just get here. Come in quarter after. We'll talk about being on time later.
Yeah.
Amen. Solid effort.
Yeah.
Solid effort. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's better than sitting around not knowing what to do. Going to Sunday school is better than sitting around not knowing what to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen. I will say this. If you're a deacon,
yep.
If you're a trustee,
amen.
If you're a preacher, if you're a song leader,
amen.
You ought to be here on time.
Amen.
every service.
Because
people are watching you. If you're related to the pastor, people are watching you. Amen? And it makes people mad when you get to participate while you're slacking. You say, well, they shouldn't think that way. They should know that I'm a person too. Perception. The Bible says you ought not cast a stumbling block.
That's right. Amen. Right.
Yes, sir. That's
good, isn't it? Amen.
Yeah.
It's perception. Perception. Amen. Amen. We're not able. I just can't get with the program. Some giant in your life. Amen. And listen, he said we saw the giants and the giants saw us. You know what? The world and the flesh and the devil, Brother Ken, they know they can beat you. They can take you out.
Yep.
They're bigger than you are.
Yep,
suppose me and Shaquille O'Neal got in a fight. Who you think's winning? I'm not afraid of him.
No.
But that's because I'm stupid. Old Tommy here is about half the size of Shaquille O'Neal. Tommy would get whooped by Shaquille. Now, give it a few years, he'll get old, and we'll both jump on it. But I wouldn't jump on Tommy. Tommy is my friend. The first time I seen him walk in over at Carla's, when I first moved here, I lived with Carla and Ron. Tommy walked in, I said, that's a big old boy. He's my buddy. He's my new friend. Now, Jason's a pretty big boy, too, but we had a wrestling match one day, and it took me 13 seconds to pin him. You say, you ever wrestled with Tommy? No, he's my buddy.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But you see, if Shaquille looked, and Neil looked at me, he wouldn't even, you know what? Most great big men like that, they're just as gentle as they can be. Because they ain't got to worry about nobody. You ain't going to jump on me. Anybody seen that show, Live PD? There's a policeman in South Carolina. Lord have mercy. I want to turn myself in. I thought bad thoughts. I think I stole $35 from the IRS in 1989. Just take me to jail. Not messing with that guy. No, sir. When he looks in, if that fella walked in the room or one of those big men walked in the room, if they start looking around, they're not looking around to see who they got to worry about because they ain't got to worry about nobody. Got to worry about nobody.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Somebody was saying something about these girls went out and ate dinner or something, and somebody said something, I don't know. I didn't get the whole story. That's par for the course when women are talking, but... I heard somebody said something and somebody else didn't like it and wanted to fight or something. I thought about some fella standing up going to say something to those ladies or something. I think somebody said something to a man or something. I don't know. But, you know, I thought about if Joe was there and somebody was going, I think it was Stacy was involved. If there's trouble, Stacy was involved. I thought, can you imagine somebody saying something and seeing Joe lean around going, you was about to say what? Wonderful looking family you got there. Amen. Amen. So these folks wander into a land of giants and they said, hey, we saw them and they saw us. And as far as we're concerned here today, you don't have to worry about no physical giants in the land of Canaan, but there's some physical giants out there, some spiritual giants out there, and they whoop you pretty easy. The Bible says that the sin that does so easily beset us. The Lord could have been a little nicer and said, the sin that besets you after such a great struggle, just said it just easily takes you out. And I know you've got those things and I've got those things, but the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're giants and they're looking at you like, if I could just get you by yourself, I got you. I got you. And it'll get you. You can memorize all the verses of Scripture you want to and go to church all you want to, but if you just allow yourself to get in a position where your perception is, that thing is going to win. That thing is going to win. It'll win.
That's right.
It'll win.
Amen.
Amen. I know you've been there. I know I've been there. I know I've run across temptations since I've been saved. Since I've been saved, I've run across temptations, and I said, man, I've got to do that just one more time before I die.
Yep.
Oh, I shouldn't do it. Well, I want to do it. Oh, I shouldn't do it. You say, what are you doing? I'm doing a bunch of repenting, back and forth and back and forth. Want to do it? I shouldn't do it. I want to do it. I shouldn't do it. And as soon as I say, well, I may as well go ahead and do it and quit worrying about it, I'm done.
Yep.
You're defeated right there.
Yep.
That thing has got me. It's got me.
Yes.
It's got me. Booze, tobacco, what? We could go down a whole list of things. But I believe the Holy Spirit's preaching far better than I'm preaching here this morning.
Yeah,
and I know you know what's going on in your own heart and what beats the daylights out of you.
Yep.
You know it, don't you?
Yep.
You know it, don't you? You sure do. And you look at it and say, boy, that's a big giant right there. And that giant looks at you and says, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. But you back up to verse number 30, and he says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's another perception. If you go into the next chapter, chapter 14, the Lord's talking to Moses, and he said, I'm going to wipe out all these people except for Caleb, because he wholly followed the Lord. They go through the wilderness and they come back up to the promised land. They're doing all this fighting and they're taking the land one by one. They're doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it. And Caleb comes up to Joshua one day and says, hey, I want that mountain over there because Moses said I could have it. And he said, I wholly followed the Lord. The Lord said that about him first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be good to start having an opinion about yourself that the Lord has.
Amen.
Listen, I'm for piety and shamefacedness and humbleness. I'm all for that stuff. That's the right attitude to have. But I'm not only a sinner, I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
Brother Joe talked about it a while ago. I'm not just a carnal man. I'm a righteous man because I've got the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ in my heart. And the Lord said, Caleb, fully, wholly followed the Lord. When it come time to claim his promises and get the victory, Caleb said, I'm a little bit older now. He said, but I wholly followed the Lord. And if you'll just give me leave, I'll go up in that mountain and I'll whoop all them giants.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yep.
You say, what'd he do? He wouldn't done it.
Yep. Right.
He wouldn't done it.
Right.
Let me show you one more verse over here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 5. No, excuse me, chapter 13. I believe it's verse number 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Contentment's perception. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, who's he? God. God hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what that is? That's perception. Caleb and Joshua walking through the land with 10 other people, and 10 of them says, man, we're going to have a hard time here. Caleb and Joshua said, this is going to be easy. Can you imagine walking along with the 10 and listening to them? This is going to be rough, man. That ground over there is going to be hard to till. Man, it's going to be hard. Man, I thought this was a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, here's some nice grapes, but man, just down here in the town of Eshcol, I don't know. Oh, man, see how big those people are? Shaquille O'Neal over there, he's going to wear us out. Amen?
Yep.
That's exactly what. And walking, and then fall back to where Caleb and Joshua kind of walking along from behind. These sissies, they will have to watch out for them, keep the rear end safe. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
The Bible says God does that. He said it'd be your shield on your rearward.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so they're walking along and saying, man, these guys, them giants ain't nothing. We could whoop them. Easy.
Yeah.
David had that same perception.
Yeah.
Goliath, who's that?
Yeah.
He's 13 foot tall.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah.
Hey, David must have been a Marine.
Amen.
Charge! What you got? Sling?
Yeah.
Rock? Caleb had that same attitude.
That's right. Yep.
Amen. Got my Milton Bradley cap pistol? Let's go!
Amen.
That's right. Let's get it done. Charge. You know what he says here in this verse? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the attitude David had.
Yep.
David knew that.
Yep.
David believed that. Let me say this. We are well able because we have God on our side.
Amen. Amen.
Caleb knew that. Caleb knew it with all his heart. Like God said he was going to give us this. All I got to do is go take it. If there's 5 giants or 50,000 giants, all I got to do is take it. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to get out in this world. There's going to be packs of cigarettes laying around all over the place. There's going to be a liquor store on every corner. Hey, down south they try to shame you. All you folks down south got a church on every corner and they need good, hey, it's better than having a liquor store on every corner. Still, one thing's the same though. The community's still full of sinners.
Yep.
Amen. But I tell you what, you'll go out tomorrow and you'll see a liquor store on every corner. You used to love liquor.
Yeah. Yep.
And if it catches you by yourself, it'll say, hey, come over here.
Sure.
Walk by the cigarette counter or where they keep the Skulls and the Copenhagens, and it'll say to you, come on over here. You ever heard the voice of temptation? Hey, come on over here. Amen. There'll be a revival meeting or there'll be a George Strait concert. Amen.
Yep.
And it'll say, come on over here. Come on.
Yep.
Temptation not bold.
No.
Sinners are bold, but temptation is not temptation. It'll say,
amen.
Come on.
Amen.
If it sees you by itself, it'll get you.
Amen.
It'll get you. But
Caleb
didn't say, I'm able. He said, we're able. Wonder who he's talking about.
Yeah.
You say, I guess he's talking about the children of Israel. The children of Israel seemed like they was on somebody else's side.
Yeah.
I guess he thought him and Joshua could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know this, he knew the Lord wasn't going to leave him.
Yeah.
I believe Joshua and Caleb thought them too could have went over there and just whooped the whole lot.
Yeah.
You ever read in your Bible where one man stood in the middle of a field and whooped the whole army? Well, you know, that's probably just symbolic. Yeah, it's symbolic of God's enemies getting their brains beat out.
Yep.
Amen? It's easy to find the symbolism in the Bible if you just believe what you're reading. Brother Mike, you mean I could go a whole week without smoking cigarettes? You sure could.
Yep.
You sure could. Amen.
Yep.
You sure could. I know you could.
Amen.
Amen. Give it a shot.
Amen.
I gave it a shot, and it didn't last very long. Give it 2 shots.
Yep.
Amen. As long as you get up and keep going again, you ain't beat.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. God would get pretty upset with me. Boy, he's already been upset with you. But Jesus died on the cross for you, and now you can go on, failures and all.
Amen.
Amen. You say, you believe in a God like that? If I didn't, I'd have to quit.
Yeah.
If I didn't believe in a God like that, I'd quit today. You know where my hands have been, my feet have gone, and where my mind goes? Listen, if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd have to quit today.
Amen.
When you fall down, you get up and keep going.
Amen.
Just keep on going. Well, I keep slipping up. Slip up and then get up and go on.
Amen.
What would you rather do? Would you rather be out there reaping the hardship and the grief, or would you rather just be reaping forgiveness? Oh, I did it again. Lord, help me and forgive me, because he will. You say, how do you know he will? Because he done did it a lot of times for me. Amen.
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 The disciples come to Jesus and said, how many times I got to forgive my neighbor? Till 7 times? Well, they're not very nice. In a day. The Lord said, 490 will be all right. In a day. How about some of you folks messed up in pornography? You watch it 490 times a day. Ask God to forgive you every time you do it. Oh, Brother Mike, you're telling people to live in sin. That's what you're doing anyway. You folks that are mightier than everybody else, you're doing it too. The difference between you and them is you get on your face and ask God to forgive you every time you slip up. Some of them ain't even slip-ups. Some of you is on the deep end of the diving board. The swimming pool. I don't know if a diving board has a deep end, but you out there.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Caleb said, well, if they knock us down, we get up and whoop some more of them.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
Them things that get you. And the bad thing about life is once you got one thing down, you're about to get it, whoop 2 or 3 other things to jump on your back.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'll just tell you one of my problems. Once I start feeling all loving like a Christian ought to do and like a person ought to do. Mm-hmm. Amen. Is somebody do something real stupid. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it seems like everybody in the world loses their mind because it ain't me.
Yeah.
Oh, just tempted to get real angry and put out. And, oh, I ain't fooling with folks no more. Stuff jumps on you. See, it knows. That's a giant for me. It knows it by myself. It could whoop me. It could whoop me. I've said some stupid things to people. I mean, not that they were untrue, but just probably stupid to say it at the time. I'm going to tell them exactly what I think next time. And do. It's not always the wisest course of action. Amen. But if the devil knows that's what it takes to get you bitter and get you mad and get you put out, he'll have people jump all over you. You know what? Remember what Job's wife said to him? She said exactly what the devil told God that Job would say. He said, you take away all this stuff from Job and he'll curse you. And when the devil took everything away from Job, his wife came to him and said, curse God. See, there's a spiritual life you're living, and about the time you try to get the victory over something, the devil's going to make sure that somebody comes along and sticks a dagger in your side while you're trying to get right. And the thing to do is pull it out and keep moving. 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 When you try something and it don't go like you planned it to go, the devil's going to come right over there and say, hey,
amen, brother.
You're such a failure. But you ain't. You ain't. When I went down to pastor the church the first time down in Georgia, got sick, come back, oh, the devil jumped on my back. You're such a failure. You left that church in a mess. Oh, such a mess. Such a mess. And sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have the wisdom to say the right thing. Just keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Eventually you'll find out, I'm not the loser here. I'm the winner. You know what I said while I was down there pastoring that church in Georgia the first time? You know who else was doing it? Nobody. Just me. Did they need a pastor? Was somebody doing it? I win. Amen. Went to be the youth pastor of the church. Didn't work out for you. Nobody else was doing it.
Amen.
You filled the role.
Amen.
But if you're susceptible to that sort of thing, a giant could come by and say, boy, you wasted all that time. Witness to somebody that don't get saved, wasted all that time. Pour your heart out into folks' lives and try to help them and get them up on their feet and it don't work out, you wasted all that time. But it's not time wasted. It's time marching. The only thing that's going to bring you joy or sorrow about the thing is how you perceive it. And there's nothing better than perceiving your own God's side. I perceive that God is on my side. Not the best of preachers, don't preach the best of sermons, but God's on my side. He's on my side. And we can whoop them giants. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about us as a congregation. Whatever comes against us, we can whoop them giants. We can beat them. We can win. Temptations you're fighting against, we can whoop them. We can whoop them. I didn't say you could whoop them. I said we could whoop them. We can easily win because God's on our side. I believe at some point in time, the Bible says Caleb wholly followed the Lord. I believe at some point in time, the Lord must have spoke to Caleb and said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And old Caleb said, I know you ain't leaving me because I'm going to be right behind you. He said he wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. Hard for the Lord to leave you if you stay on his heels. Amen. Sometimes when Alan's up here pacing, I think about just making a joke and getting up here. He's never going to leave me because I'm going to keep following him. And that's what you ought to be doing for the Lord. He's not going to leave you anyway. But are you following him? If you are, you can whoop them giants. Amen. Go ahead.